Amen. Good to see you today. Good crowd today on this weekend. Happy to get you part of the service with us today. If you brought your Bible, I want us to make a confession as we begin today. So let's begin by making a confession to the Lord. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same. Never, 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 in Jesus' name. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. How many is thankful for Jesus? Say amen. Amen. I'm going to share with you today. Let me just come to you today, and this is one of those messages I'm going to share as I do today. I just got a couple things going on in my heart and my spirit today as I get ready to share with you. And let me just say, as the Old Testament prophets of old, wouldn't want to compare myself to them, I don't think. But again, let me just say, as those Old Testament, I am troubled in my spirit. I am troubled in my spirit today, and I have been since the Lord began instructing me about preaching and teaching on this today. I want to make a start out with all of us here today to recognize one thing. I think AJ brought it up when he said the 10 plagues hit all of Egypt, but it didn't touch the land of Goshen. And I feel like today that we as children of God are living in the land of Goshen. At the same time, all around us, this place is in trouble. America is in trouble. Think about it. Our children will not grow up the way you and I grew up. Our children will never know a time when you turn on the television and there wasn't any cussing on it. Does anybody remember that? I remember about 11:30 at night years ago, I watched one of my favorite pictures every night at 11:30. And it was a picture of a little record. They went left and right, and what did they do? They had jets flying over, waving American flag, singing God Bless America, didn't they? Remember that when the stations all went off at night? Your children will never know that. America where we could leave our doors unlocked. I remember when my mom, boy, she was world's worst growing up. She never took the keys out of her car. Does anybody remember that? People didn't used to take keys out of their car. They'd park on the side of the road, park and didn't take the keys out of their car. Now we roll up the windows, lock it down, and got a security thing on it. Go beep, 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 and somebody comes around it. But our children won't know that time, will they? Used to be a time when on Sunday you couldn't buy nothing around this place. Everybody was closed down on Sunday for the house of God and house of worship. Not only that, used to be time that school systems and different places in our land would shut down on Wednesday night. They wouldn't think about having a ball game on Wednesday night. They wouldn't think about doing anything at school on Wednesday night. Why? That's prayer meeting. It's Bible study. Your children, my children will never know that. America will never again really know what the meaning of the word gay is. And it don't mean what people say it is today. I've met and have some friends that are gay, and believe me, it's anything but gay. Amen? Gay means happy. People we live around in our day and age won't know that pot is something you cook something in, that you don't smoke it. Isn't it strange? The web used to be a thing the spiders crawled on. And you see the spiders crawling on. Now it's something else. Tweet used to be something the bird did, wasn't it? World has changed. Look at Psalms 11. As you're going there, I want to remind you of David, who wrote Psalms 11. And David wrote about this, and David was in trouble most of his life. He was either in the court of King Saul trying to kill him right in the palace, or he's in the wilderness and Saul and his men were chasing him trying to kill him. And after that, Absalom, Saul's son, was trying to kill him. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 19:1, Saul spake to Jonathan, his own son, and to all of his servants, that they should kill David. So David knew what it was like to have people after him, to have people constantly badgering him, persecuting him, opposing him, and literally trying to take his life physically. David knew what that was like. And David is the one that wrote this psalm we're about to read in Psalm chapter 11 in verse 1. We're about to read that. David wrote it. Remember that. So he knows whereof what he speaks when we read this psalm. And as we read it, there's two courses of action that you and I can find ourselves going in. And one is fear and one is faith. Now, both fear and faith will see the same thing. But some will go in fear and some will go in faith. Those that go in fear will be those that look at things that are near to them. And they'll run. They'll see what's happening around them. They'll become frightful and scared and they'll run. Those that walk in faith will see the big picture, that they know what's going on around, but they know that's not the end of the story. Amen? When we think about it, fear walks by what it sees. But faith walks by faith. In other words, when we look, or trust walks by faith. When we look at our fears, it's based on what we see and we want to run. We want to give up, you want to quit, you want to hide, you want to be far from what's going on. But the person that lives by trust in the Lord and faith, he knows that he's got to make a stand. How many knows it's time for believers like you and me to make a present stand in this evil world? Somebody say amen. Amen. And so we need to make our stand today, and I'm going to talk to you about how to do that. But before we do that, I'm going to paint an ugly picture for you. It's a picture I don't want to paint. It's one I don't want to talk about and seldom do, because it's really not my life, but my life is being affected by it, and yours is too. While many of the things I'll speak of today will be foreign to you and foreign to me and not things that we live our lives by, they still are oppressing us. They are still out there bombarding us. They are still trying to make their way into our lives continually and daily. Look at Psalm chapter 11, verse 1. Verse 1 through 7. It's a short psalm, and we're going to break it down little by little. But let me just read the whole thing for you, and then we'll come back. Psalms 11, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as the bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright of heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, him that loves violence in his soul, hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone, and a horrible tempest, that they shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, the Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. Somebody say amen to the reading of the word. Look at verse 1 again. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? When I see this, I recognize in the first passage, we look at a few things, that opposition and destruction is all around David. It's around him so much that his friends are coming to him and they're saying to him, you better run. Somebody say, you better run. I mean, that's what they're saying. You better hide. You better get out of this place. Now, let me just say it real clear. There is a time to run. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:25 to flee useful lust. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon talked about that wicked woman, and he talked about, you better not stick around, you better run. Somebody say, you better run. There are some times to run, but there's also some times to stand. And you got to know God's direction on that. Because when you look at Jesus himself, when he was born, and the Bible said that Joseph took Mary and Jesus, his son, down into Egypt, and they were there for 3 years. So there was a time for him to be out of the country, and for him to come back. And so you got to know when is the time to run and when is the time to stand.
And so David, hearing this, he's talking to those people that are saying this. There are other times that David would flee. There's other times that he's run, but not this time. He's not going to do it. If you look at that verse 1, it says, "How dare you tell me flee to the mountains for safety when I am trusting in the Lord?" Living Bible says, "How dare you tell me to run when I'm trusting in God?" Somebody say, "How dare you? How dare you tell me to run when I'm trusting in God? I made my stand. I'm believing God's going to see me through. How dare you tell me to run when I'm trusting in God?" You know, here's the thing. The Bible teaches us that the devil is out there seeking whom he may devour. He's there. We have to understand that. And what happens is friends come to him and say, "You better run." There are people in America right now saying to you and to me, "Better, forgive me, you better shut up." In Colorado, that's documented. This is August 2015, last year. You will, if you run a bakery, you will bake a gay wedding cake if they want you to. They come and ask you, you're going to do it. And that's what we're being told today. That's the scare tactics that are out there today. In Florida, listen to this. In Florida, a ministry was told to choose between Jesus and helping the poor. You say, how'd they do that? Well, for the past 31 years, a Christian ministry has been providing food to the hungry in Lake City, Florida, without any problem. But all that changed when they said a state government worker showed up to negotiate a new contract. You know what? I mean, listen, if you work for the government, thank God, bless you. But there are some government workers just think they're God. Have you ever figured that out? I mean, they think just because they got a little badge or this or that and that, and believe, I'm not talking about our precious law enforcement, policemen, and people protect us. I respect them. I really do. But I'm talking about some of these folks that come in to expect this and expect that and tell you're going to do this and tell you're going to do that. They think what they say, that's just a, you know, it's the Supreme Court to hear them tell it. But they came in and they told this group down in Lake City, Florida, here's the deal. The State Agriculture Department official told them they would not be allowed to receive USDA food unless, in other words, receiving free food, and they're giving it to the poor. A minister doing that. You can't do that unless you remove portraits of Christ, the Ten Commandments, and a banner that read, "Jesus is Lord," and stop giving out Bibles to the needy when you give them food. Isn't that amazing? In other words, that's the government and state agency in this case, and federal government working with them, coming up in that classic phrase I use, "Boo!" Scaring you. Want to come against you. I mean, you know, who knows what rights that they have to make that. I don't think they have any. We'll see in just a few moments. But they try to do it. In California, Christians found not guilty. What did they even get called into court for? They got called into court because on the way into the highway department of California, they were sitting on the sidewalk waiting in line. How many knows his lines at the highway department? And they were reading their Bible. And they were arrested for reading their Bible in the department going into the highway. Place to get their license renewed. Well, thank God they were found not guilty by the next judge. I don't know where it went from there, but they were. What I'm trying to show those people trying to scare you. They can't always do what they say they're going to do. They can't always make it stick. Sometimes they can, but sometimes they can't. An Air Force veteran faced a court-martial for opposing gay marriage. The military become so aggressive that anti-Christian and pro-gay. How many learned just this last week that now transgenders can be part of the military, transgendered and all? What kind of uniform are they going to wear? I guess whichever one they want to, right? Depends on what day it is, doesn't it? My Lord. But this was, that filters all the way up. You say some of these things that I just said in the military, you're probably going to get some kind of chastisement coming down your way nowadays. Or trying. One government official in the Park Service, they've been baptizing people in the National Park Service at a certain lake that they were at for years. And the government came down and said, "You can't do that anymore. You're going to have to get a permit for you to be baptizing anybody anymore. We're not letting you anymore." And tried to shut them down. So no more baptisms. No more baptisms. We don't want to see it anymore. A Florida professor at Ryan Rotella, Florida Atlantic University. Ryan Rotella was told by his professor to write Jesus Christ's name on a piece of paper and stomp on it. Rotella defiantly refused and in retaliation, a formal disciplinary action was started against him. Imagine that. You know what? So we're going to have to learn something. All this stuff that they tell us to do in schools and colleges, universities, your degree, your diploma ain't worth all that. I mean, you know what? They can keep their diploma. They ain't stomping on nothing that says Jesus' name on it. I mean, it's not worth that. But we're going to have some people with backbones that will stand up and say that and actually make that happen. Well, this person did. And they filed a suit against him. But the thing was, Christians, as they became outraged, then the college began to back down. But since then, they won't give an apology for what they did and just want to leave it hanging out there that everybody else can know that when we tell you to do something, you better do it, or else there's going to be a lot of trouble. You might get out, but there's going to be a lot of trouble. It's just amazing the things that are taking place. Last year, CNN reported this, that survey found 7,100 Christians were killed in 2015 for faith-related reasons. 7,100 Christians killed in 2015. Now, the thing that makes that statistic a little scary is this, that's up 3,000 from the year before. Can anybody, or is it just me, has anybody sensed that the devil has turned up to fire in the last few years? I mean, it's out there. He's trying to turn up the heat out there. He's trying to back Christians down and scare us and so that we won't do anything, we won't say anything, and we really just really won't be what God wants us to be. But the same thing was happening in David's day. They're saying, you better run. And I think there's a time for us to run, as I've talked about, but I don't believe this is it. I believe this is a time for us to make a stand. That we're going to stand on the Word of God and what God has told us to do. And they can like it or they can not like it. I mean, it's up to them. But you know what? I ain't going to change. Somebody say amen. I heard somebody say that in a song. He said, I fought too hard to believe. I'm just not going to change now. If I'm wrong, I'll change. If you're wrong, we'll all change. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you stand on the principle of God, we need to make decisions in our life that we're not the one that's going to change. When this wacko bathroom thing came down a few weeks ago, when this thing came down, you know, I got on the phone, I called Governor Haley's office, and I talked to three different people there. Nobody wanted to answer a question. My simple question was, in South Carolina, what is the law? Can anybody go into any bathroom they want to go into at schools? Or do boys still have to go to boys and girls still have to go to girls? I had three people before I got anybody to give me a half-straight answer. And finally, I mean, one of them, they're going to give you political answers. Well, Governor Haley believes this and blah, 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 blah. Then they said that. Then somebody else said the same thing. But finally, when it got down to it, he said this, whatever the ruling is that comes down from the Department of Education, that's what we do in South Carolina. You know what I told them? It makes no difference what ruling comes down from the Department of Education. Ain't no boys going in girls' rooms when my daughter's inside that bathroom. And that, you say, you want to be that way? You want to be redneck about it? Call it that if you want to. Doesn't matter. Somebody's going to have to make a stand. Somebody's going to have to. You know what? I mean, I don't believe in violence, that kind of thing. I'm not into all that. Although I'm black belt and taekwondo. I don't believe in all that. I really don't. But if I catch a man going in my wife's bathroom, there's going to be some trouble in that place. There's going to be some trouble in that place. Amen? And that's what it's going to take. You say, are you advocating violence? You know, you hold that for yourself. I'm not advocating you break any law. If that law is unjust, then I think we're called upon to stand and resist it. I do. Look at Psalms 11 in verse 2. What's going on here? Remember, the Lord, I put my trust in the Lord, but you're saying, that's what's in my soul, but you're saying to me, flee like a bird. Verse 2, what's going on? For lo, the wicked, they bend their bow, they make ready their arrows upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Let me read that to you at the Living Bible. It says, for the wicked have strung their bows, thinking of a bow and arrow. They've drawn their arrows tight. Man, somebody is aiming for you. They pull that thing tight against the bowstring, and they've aimed from an ambush. on the sides, hiding, waiting for you. Got the snare set, bows ready, and they've aimed from the ambush at the people of God. Notice what it's saying. They're privately, King James says, shooting at the upright in heart. Somebody says, I don't know anybody shooting at me. They're shooting at the upright of heart. Those that walk uprightly. When you make a stand of uprightness in this world, you're going to attract some people that hate your guts. I don't want anybody to hate me. Jesus said that if they hated him, they'll hate you. That's if you follow him. If you don't, they're going to love you. Okay? Now, I'm not preaching a doctrine. I'm not trying to be in Lawrence County trying to get everybody out here to hate my guts. There's a few they do, but most of them don't. I mean, I believe the love of God prevails. I really do. But at the same time, I recognize there's some people out there aiming for you. They got you in their sights. They got you in their sights. That bow is pulled back. They're waiting for you to say the wrong thing. And today, in this day's world, sometimes that's all it takes. You can't even express your opinion, they'll tell us, in the workplace or out in public about what you believe about righteous and moral values in life. It's gone. It's no longer that they want us to tolerate what they do and how they live their lives. It's gone past that. They want you to tolerate it and accept it and encourage it and bless it and be on the side with it. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Let me read you what I saw. I said this in a commentary that I don't usually quote these, but this was a great one. It said, the wicked are honing the upright of heart. The wicked just in the shadows. Ghostly spirit just flowing around you out there. Should I do this? Honing the upright. They are intent on making the godly fall. You see, that's where the thing comes down at, is this. It's not a matter of you and I stand up against what we believe in that. It's a matter of the devil so bombarding you that when you compromise here and you compromise there and you compromise here again and again there and again there, you have no strength, no character, nothing left of uprightness in you. You've given it all up. And that's one of the things right behind what the devil is wanting to do in America. To back us so far back in the corner, to shut us up to where we won't say anything, where they can preach their ungodly and filthy doctrines of sin that they like to preach, and the church says nothing about it. Not anything. They're trying to shoot at you to get you to fall. You see, that's the reality of it. When the church stops talking about sin, when the church stops calling sin what it is, an abomination and a reproach before God, when that happens, the church weakens itself and the church loses its place as a church. See, it's not an alternative thing we can do. It's going to have its effect on you. It's the same way. Let's say if you're getting up and you're like Dwayne and you like to go out and ride your bicycle 25 miles every day. But anyway, whatever the case might be. And you're out there riding, you know, and you stop doing that. Stop riding 25, stop 20, stop 15, stop at 10, stop at 5, stop at 1. Skip days. Don't do it this week. Wait a month. Don't do it now. 2 months, 3 months behind. What happened? You lost your ability. You lost your power to ride. It's all over with. You're way out there. And the devil can hit the church again and again and again and again and over and over and over and shut us up and keep us quiet. And we don't say anything. We don't speak out. And we don't live the walk. And we don't talk the talk out in the world. And they keep backing us up. You know, let me tell you something. If my confession and your confession only happens inside of this church, it ain't worth nothing. Amen? It's got to make it outside these doors. How Christian am I, Pastor? It depends on how you are outside this door. Right now, y'all look like angels to me, I tell you. But outside this door, that's going to tell the story. What's happened? He said, Jesus said the same thing. The devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. Let me give you some wild stuff. Wild stuff. Did you know that people go to the Super Bowl now for child sex? It's been called the largest human traffic venue on the planet. I'm going to give you the citation, Super Bowl. What about Disney World? I've been to Disney World. We've been several times to Disney World.
As I love the Disney characters. I love cartoons. I love fun. I love all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Disney World is becoming one of the main employers of gays throughout America. And they have the biggest gay day ever. I have some friends. They were talking about that, going to Disney World. They were just happy out of their minds that they're going to Disney World. Because they could go down there and be as perverse as they wanted to be. And as ungodly as they want to be. And everybody was happy and smiling and thankful for it. And when I heard all of that, it made me wonder about it. Really did. I'm going to walk up to Goofy and put my arms around Goofy. I just wonder who Goofy's in Goofy. You know, what's going on? I got one citation. I looked this up. Saw this on the internet. It said a 13-year-old boy murdered his cousin. You know why? Because of an Xbox. Wouldn't let him play his Xbox, so he killed his cousin. Harry and I threw a rock at each other, but we never shoot at you. One man was recently charged with killing his wife over the cable bill. He won't have to worry about that now. He'll have cable free for the rest of his life in prison. Now, how's that, man? You know what? That's ridiculous. How's that a punishment, going to jail, and everything you get in jail is you get education, you get 3 meals a day, you get this, you get that, you get money, you get smokes, you get this. I mean, my opinion is, rather than send somebody to jail for 20 years, 30 years, how about send them to hard labor for about 90 days? I mean, used to, 90 days would take a lot out of you. It really would. You remember we used to see them guys walking up down the road working on the chain gang? Remember that? That's an old song, too. You missed it. But working on the chain gang. And they out there cutting down the trees and all this stuff. And I felt sorry for them. Hey, my uncle was on the chain gang most of his life. He was. Until he moved to California because they had better welfare benefits out there. So he moved out there. That's the truth. That's the truth. I remember visiting him in the chain gang camp right out here, Airport Road. I remember going out and seeing him, talking to him, visiting him. Yeah. But nowadays, I don't know that we punish anymore. I don't know. And do I have mercy on people's mess up? You know I do. But we got to do something about this stuff. There's one guy who took a surveillance video. He went into a bathroom, and he put in a surveillance camera so he could watch people use the bathroom. Now, who wants the video of that? I have no idea. But this man, when he did it, he made the mistake when he was putting the video in. He videoed himself putting it in. That's how they found him. Isn't that amazing? There's also surveillance video that you can see on YouTube if you want to see this kind of thing. And you can see a video of people rushing into a convenience store, going in and out over a dead body. Nobody's even stopping or just walking on top of the dead. Forgive me, but a pizza delivery man was just arrested, caught on a camera outside the front door for having sex with the family dog. Keep your dogs up, everybody. One couple was accused of dismembering their roommate and burned his torso in a campfire while sitting around singing. My Lord. In Oklahoma City, or Oklahoma State capital, there was a group there that applied for a permit to build a statue of Satan on public grounds. Amazing. What's going to be sad is that they may get that. They might put the statue of Satan where the Ten Commandments used to be. I mean, stay tuned. One man was such a sexual abuser that he planned the sexual abuse of his daughter before she was even born. You know, sometimes you hear about people having children so that they can harvest the body parts from them. He was having his daughter so he could have sex relationships with her. What kind of world are we living in? What kind of world are we living in? Did you know that 6% of all crimes committed by children are under the age of 15? 17% of all crimes are committed by those under 18. 30% of all the crimes committed in America are for those under age 21. 58% of all the crimes committed in America are by people 25 years old and younger. You see, what happens is we sort of think everybody's in our world, and they're not. Every year, you change every 7 years. Every 7 years, every 10 years, there's a new group of people that come up who don't know what you know. Ask on the issue of gay marriage. Ask people that are over the age of 50 about gay marriage, and they'll all just about come up and say, no, we don't believe in it. Ask the same question to the people under 25. You're going to get a response that is unbelievable. We changed in 1973 the meaning of gay. When I went to school, we had a textbook that was called Abnormal Psychology. In that textbook, we were told that homosexuals were abnormal. Say it today and they'll kick you out of the same school. Now more than that. 37 states, it used to be now legal to have gay marriage. Now it's legal in all of them. Because of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. It's illegal in all 50 states. Presbyterians, we love our Presbyterian people that preach righteousness. United Methodists, we love them that preach righteously. But in both of those churches, you can still have people marry who are same-sex couples. One murder happens every 31 minutes. Two rapes every 2 minutes. One robbery every 4.8 seconds. One assault every 27 seconds. One car theft every 20 seconds. Other thefts, small thefts, every 4 seconds. Crime is now up 370%. What about church? What about church? Have you noticed lately when you watch so many television programs on church? I mean, AJ was asking me because we went out in Anaheim and several years ago. When we went out, we got to meet Dr. Price, Dr. Fred Price, who always love and still do and follow his ministry, always have. And they got to meet he and his son, his daughter, his wife, all of them. And I'd seen them before, met them before at a show, but I hadn't seen them in person like that. And so we got to see them, and they had this big church. One time it was the biggest church in America at that time, the biggest auditorium that was in America. And, of course, years have gone by, and things have taken place, and that kind of thing. And the day that we live in today, I've noticed that they've brought big curtains up, and almost three-fourths of the church now is curtained off, and they're using the other fourth that's there. Yeah, and I'm not being discredited for them. Oh, I love Dr. Fred Price. I love him. I listen to him probably almost on a weekly basis. And you can see other large churches in America where they no longer show you the balconies. They no longer show you the backs of the church anymore, the full shots. They show tight shots of people real close. And what is happening? In America, in 1960, 70% of Americans went to church. In 1960, 70% of Americans went to church. In the 70s, 60%. In the 80s, 55%. In the 90s, 50%. In the 2000s, 30%. And in the year that we're living in, less than 20% of Americans even say they go to church. And that's not saying they go every week. That's saying they might go to church maybe once a month. 20%. Something is going on in America. Something is happening in this place that we're in. And when we read this passage and we see this scripture, the devil is shooting. He's aimed, he's got people in their sights, and he's hitting them. And he's bringing stuff against people who you thought would never fall and never turn away from the Lord, and yet he walks somebody by them and their eyes turn that direction and they're gone. Something else happens in their life. Something comes upon them and they do not stand. There's got to be a change in the church. Look at Psalms 11, verse 3. Here's the problem. Psalms 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a question. And the New Living Translation talks about this. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. In the Message Bible, it says the bottom's dropped out of the country. Message Bible says good people don't have a chance. That's the Message Bible, interpretive of that. When we look up the word, the foundations, in the Hebrew, we see the word, the political or moral support. Something's gone wrong in America, politically and morally in America. Things have changed. Let me show you something. In America, do you know our country, you will hear people say things like, this is not a Christian country. Don't say this is a Christian country. We have to be tolerant of all religions and all faiths and all of this and all of that. I'm going to challenge that to you today. I'm going to challenge that statement. The founding fathers, way, way back prior to the founding fathers, remember, this country was established in 1776, but before then, people were coming here to escape religious oppression so that they might have freedom to worship. In 1620, the Mayflower Compact sign said, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Why did they come over on the Mayflower? For the advancement of the Christian faith. Everybody say Christian. Not Muslim religion. Not Hindu religion. The Christian faith. You know, we can argue, we can fume all we want to. It's a fact. It's in the historical documents. You can read it for yourself. In 1690, Connecticut law passed that children to be taught to read. And in the law, Connecticut wrote it like this, 1690, that children should be taught to read so that they can read the Holy Scriptures. Not the Quran. The Holy Scriptures. In 1690, the first New England primer is published. The alphabet is taught using Bible verses for each letter and has questions on biblical morality teachings. 1690. I wonder why they use the Bible if we're not a Christian nation. For the next 200 years, 1678 up to 1890, that New England primer would be used teaching people how to read by how to read the Bible. In 1699, Yale, maybe you heard of Yale University? Yale was founded by 10 ministers in order to further the Reformed Protestant religion. You can look at most all of our colleges in America, and they have religious backing in how they've been formed and how they've fashioned. In 1746, Princeton was founded by the Presbyterians with the Reverend Jonathan Dickinson as its first president. Imagine that, a pastor, a preacher, a reverend was the first president of Princeton University. Brown University, established by the Baptists to further religious revival known as the Great Awakening in America. In 1779, Delaware Indians bring children to George Washington, remember our first president, for education. And Washington said this, you do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. You hear this stuff? All people were deists. They were that. Jesus Christ. Washington said that's what they need to learn. He knew what the answer was. In 1781, Congress approves the purchase of Bibles to be used in schools. What has happened to us? In 1796, in Washington's presidential farewell address to the nations, he encourages America to learn biblical teachings to sustain a moral and a just country. So I don't know how far I'll get with this, but that's the key. If you don't have people who want to be right in their heart, the documents you have don't make a hill of beans worth a difference. America is built around people who have virtue. Look that up. Who have morality. Look that up in the documents and you'll see it. They got to have the willingness and the rightness and heart to want to do right. If you do that, then the documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, all make a lot of sense. And it's a great tool. But if you don't have it in your heart, you'll twist it and contrive it and bend it and not obey it and stay away from it, and it won't work for you.
Morality has got to be the basis of America. We don't have it anymore. In 1830, Dr. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence letter, published in support of using the Bible as a school textbook. Not only in our day, they say you can't even read it, then a school textbook. In 1836, First McGuffey Reader is published, which teaches the ABCs along with Bible verses. 1867, Morehouse College and Howard University are founded. Both schools are to help ex-slaves become teachers and preachers. Founding a college for that. 1890, listen to this. 1890, let it be put to rest. 1890, people want to say the Supreme Court has said. Okay, 1890, the Supreme Court rules that America is a religious people and that this is a Christian nation. Look it up. It's in the legal archives. The Supreme Court ruled us to be a Christian nation. 1890. 130 years ago almost now. Is that what it is? 126 years, something like that? In 1892, the American Teachers Union declared that schools should continue to teach morals from the Bible as schools are turned over to various states from Christian churches. When the churches stopped the education, they said when it goes to the states, the American Teachers Union said, you need to be teaching this too. Imagine it. 1900, virtually all school textbooks published to date have contained Bible references or teachings. 1925, the Tennessee governor signs a law forbidding the teaching of evolution in public schools. Now it's the opposite. 1925, Florida state legislator passed a law requiring daily Bible reading in public schools. You know, kids nowadays, they graduate school and they don't never heard about Jesus or God or the Ten Commandments or right or wrong from the Bible. That's a moral thing. We're into higher education, higher learning. 1946, Dallas School published a textbook entitled Biblical Studies Course for the New Testament. Dallas School System did that. 1946. Now, the bad news. 1948, the Supreme Court rules that time set aside for prayer in public schools is unconstitutional. 1962, the Supreme Court rules that children may not recite a state-written prayer in school. 1963, the Supreme Court bans individual school prayer and Bible reading in school. 1965, the Supreme Court rules that a child may pray silently to himself if no one knows he's praying and his lips don't move. That would make me want to pray in their face so loud I, you know, go hoarse doing it. 1980, U.S. schools report the lowest SAT scores ever. I wonder why. 1985, the Supreme Court struck down Alabama law requiring schools to have a moment of silent meditation at the beginning of the day. You can't even have a moment of silence, much less your mouth's not moving. You're going to think what we tell you to think. You're going to think it till you go home. Then you'll start thinking what we tell you to think on the television. Then you'll start thinking what we tell you to think on the radios and the songs that we write and the books that we tell you to read. We're going to get you cradle to grave. 1992, the Supreme Court rules that clergy may not offer prayers at graduation ceremonies. 1992, no more preachers praying at graduations. In the year 2000, the Supreme Court rules student-initiated or student-led prayer at football games is unconstitutional. Not only can the preachers can't show up to pray, but the students can't pray. Somebody say, God, have mercy. Let me give you this. We're not a Christian nation, they tell us. We're not a Christian nation. They asked Benjamin Franklin what he believed about things being taught in school, and Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, this is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped, and that the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to other children, that the soul of man is immortal and will be treated with justice in another life, respecting its conduct in this life.
These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion. I believe I could handle that in the public schools. How about you? Amen? Well, it used to be there. In fact, in the Virginia bill, one of the colleges at that time, when the state of Virginia put out a bill establishing what should be taught in elementary schools, and they took that creed and wrote down a 5-point statement that included every one of them that said, teach this in the schools in Virginia. And what it was, there exists a creator who made all things, and he should be worshipped. The creator has a revealed moral code of behavior for happy living, which distinguishes from right and wrong. The creator tells us what's right and wrong. It's not situational ethics, but the creator tells us what's right and what's wrong. Third thing they said, the creator holds mankind responsible for the way they treat each other. That's the thing about it. When you hear about kids and fighting and killing each other, well, hey, if you knew you had to answer to a God in heaven for what you just did to somebody else, you might think twice about what you did to somebody else. But if there ain't no God to answer to, and nowadays, teacher can't do anything to you, principal can't do anything to you, others can't do anything to you, and anything people's going to do might just be a slap on the hand, that kind of thing to you, well, why not do it? It's the world that we live in. Four, he said, all mankind will live beyond this life. If you know you're going to have to face somebody when you leave this place, it's going to change the way you live while you're at this place. In the next life, mankind are judged for their conduct in this one. All five of these tenets of faith that Benjamin Franklin talked about were included in all of Virginia schools for many, many, many years. Many, many years. What has happened? The foundation be destroyed. If the foundation be destroyed. Go with me a little bit further. No, don't go with me a little further. Hold on. Somebody says, well, I don't know. Listen carefully. George Washington, first president of the United States, in a speech to the Delaware Indian Chiefs of May 12, 1779, Washington encouraged them to learn the religion of Jesus Christ. Not some moon god or some sun god or some spacious being, Jesus Christ. He, in a speech that he delivered, George Washington said, my ears with pleasure, the other matters you mentioned, Congress will be glad to hear them too. You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you greater and happier people than you are. Congress will do everything they can to assist you in this wise intention, and to tie the knot of friendship and union so fast that nothing shall ever be able to loose it. Well, George, something did loose it, because I don't find Congress assisting me anymore in the things of religion. George Washington said it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. He didn't say God in the Quran. He didn't say Allah in the Quran. He said God in the Bible. Everybody say God in the Bible. I thought our country wasn't founded on Christianity, on the Bible. God in the Bible. That's what he said. He said it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to improve his protection and his favor, or to implore his protection and favor. George Washington said that. There's a bunch of stuff I got listed that he said. Let me go to another one. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for the pardon of all my sins. I thought those guys didn't believe in Jesus. Samuel Adams said, we have this 4th of July day restored the sovereign, not sovereignty, the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising and the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come. Bless the Lord. The United States Congress endorsed the Bible and God, for it printed a Bible, and American, it said, the United States Congress assembled recommends this edition of the Bible to the inhabitants of the United States, a neat edition of the Holy Scriptures for the use in schools. 1782 Congress. By law,
the United States Congress adds "In God We Trust" to our money. Not a Christian nation? John Adams, President of the United States of America, first Vice President, signer of the Declaration of Independence, signer of the Bill of Rights, and signer of the First Amendment, said, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." I believe Jesus is Christian. Now, how about that? Christ, the Messiah, Christian. John Adams said the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believe them, and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and the attributes of God. Won't pass away. That's what it means, immutable. Who else can look? John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Once we become not moral and not religious, the documents are no good, is what John Adams was saying. The documents are no good. Unless you have the heart and the spirit of Christ and of faith in your life and the power to want to do right, to want to do that that's as good, and feel that your life means something and you'll be accountable to one when you leave this life. If you don't have those principles in you, then the documents don't mean anything. I mean, just like growing up in school, somebody said, "You can't do this." My second question was, "What you going to do if I do?" And depending on how you answer that depends on if I have to obey the word or not. It depends on what you're going to do if I don't. Patrick Henry, heard of him? "Give me liberty, give me death, it's justice." There's a book, he says, "the Bible worth all the other books ever printed." Patrick Henry. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that a great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patrick Henry wrote that. Isn't it amazing? Bunches more. I don't have time to get to all of them. Bunches more that I can read you. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence. "The only foundation for a republic to be laid in religion is to be laid in religion. Without this, there can be no virtue. Without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and the life of all governments." Can't have it without religion. The Continental Congress, John Witherspoon said this. He said, "The rights essential to happiness, we claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and from the Lord of all the earth." I hadn't read nothing again about Buddha and Muhammad yet, have you? I really haven't. Benjamin Franklin said rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. In other words, when you start obeying God, the tyrants say you're rebelling. Hold that word tyrants. You've got to find out what you got to do when you recognize the tyrants. Some people won't like that, but you do. Thomas Jefferson. This is on the Jefferson. Anybody ever been to Washington, D.C.? We've been there. We've been to the Jefferson Monument. We've been there in Lincoln Memorial. We've been to a bunch of these places, the Washington Monument. Go up there. You'll read, well, at least you did last time we was there. You'll read scripture verses all over that place. I mean, they're etched in stone. On the Jefferson Memorial, it says the Christian religion is the best religion that's ever been given to man. It didn't say all religions. It said the Christian religion. America is a Christian nation. Somebody say amen. It's undeniable. Daniel Webster said this, "Education is useless without the Bible." That's the guy that tells what words mean. Noah Webster said this, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to the mind than that Christian religion must be the basis of any governmental action intended to secure the rights and the privileges of a free people." 1828. Noah Webster put that in his dictionary. Something has happened. I don't know that the dictionary we got now has got that in there. In fact, I went out and bought an 1828 dictionary just for that purpose, just to read that. Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story. In 1829, Supreme Court Justice, "I verily believe Christianity necessary to the support of a civil society. One of the beautiful boasts of our municipal jurisprudence is that Christianity is a part of the common law.
There never has been a period in which the common law did not recognize Christianity as lying as its foundations. Then why in the world can't we have the Ten Commandments in our courtrooms today? Something has changed in America. Something is beginning to stink. In fact, it already is stinking. I got a bunch more. I can't get all of them today. I want to give you something today when we get ready to leave. Rick, if you help me. Jimmy, please, sir, if you help me. I'm going to give you something. This is not scripture, but I believe it to be a very God-ordained book. Junior, could you hit me with the middle, please? What is coming to you is the Constitution of the United States of America. Land that I love. What is the song that Francis Scott Key wrote? What's the name of that song? The Star Spangled Banner. Have you ever read the fourth verse of that? And the fourth verse, did you know that he puts in there, "In God We Trust"? I don't know that we ever get that song sung, do we, in our schools? It's amazing what's going on, what's happening. What you have got is a copy of the Constitution of the United States, as well as the Declaration of Independence, as well as the Bill of Rights. Now, the Bill of Rights are essentially the amendments to the Constitution. Look in here on page 3, Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 3, you'll just see three little eyes out there. I'm told that today people don't know what Roman numerals are, the younger generation. But look there, and I want to point out three things to you. Notice it says, observing the hand of providence. You see that? Observing the hand of providence. Notice what George Washington said. The adoption of the Constitution will demonstrate as the visible the finger of providence as any possible event in the course of human affairs can ever designate it. If you read some of the journals of Christopher Columbus, he tells you that he seemed to be guided by the hand of God toward this place. There is some tremendous things to be seen. I know it's been rewritten today, but read what they wrote instead of what the people today write. You'll see it. George Washington said, the Constitution is after the finger of providence or of God. Now, again, we're talking 1700s language here. If you were in that day, you would know what the capital word providence means. It has to do with God for sure. Daniel Webster said, I regard it, the Constitution, as the work of the purest patriots and the wisest statements that ever existed, aided by the smiles of benignant or gracious providence. It almost appears a divine interposition in our behalf. It's almost like God came down and gave us this document, is what he's saying. Benjamin Franklin at the very bottom of that paragraph says that being in some degree influenced, guided, governed by the omnipotent and the beneficent ruler in whom all inferior spirits live and move and have their being. I believe I've read something about that in the book of Acts. And Benjamin Franklin is saying it seemed like the Lord who is moving in all of our beings, that he's moved here. That's what he's saying. Turn to the page 5, Roman numeral 5. At the top, Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. In other words, the worse off we get, the more those who are worse off become our masters. John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to govern any other. It won't work if we don't have morality and virtue in this place. That's why the church is so important in America. You kill the church, you'll kill America. Samuel Adams, the third paragraph, the sum of all is, if we would most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. When shall we both deserve and enjoy it? While on the other hand, if we are universally vicious and debauched in our manners, through the form of our constitution carries the face of the most exalted freedom, we shall in reality be the most abject slaves. We must have virtue, must have reality, morality. Notice the first line of what George Washington said, of all the depositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. You can't do away with religion and morality. You can't do away with a belief in God and still have political prosperity. At the bottom of the page, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "We in America do not have government by majority. We have government by the majority who participate." You ought to really read that one. The majority doesn't govern America. The majority that votes governs America. And if you and me not showing up to vote, shame on you and me. Somebody say amen. We don't have any reason to complain. You know what? If Christians would stand up and vote what the Bible says, we wouldn't be in the nation to fix this nation's been in for the last several hundred years now. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. In other words, if we be silent like they say be silent, if we don't talk like they say don't talk, then that's all that's got to happen. Stay silent and we'll get government tyranny. Go all around. Let me just show you a few other things here. Look on page 5. Page 5. Real page 5. Number page 5. We could read the Constitution of the United States. We don't have time to do that. If we go to page 5, go to the very bottom on the right-hand side, go up about 7 lines. And I want to show you something. Somebody said, well, that's not in the Constitution anything about worshiping Jesus Christ. Well, look on page 5 and go up 7 lines. If any bill shall not be returned by the president, he's given the rules for when a bill becomes a bill. You remember that? How a bill becomes a bill. Remember that cartoon we watched years ago, How a Bill Becomes a Bill? Okay, he's talking about how, in the Constitution, tell us how that happens. If any bill shall not be returned by the president within 10 days, Sunday's accepted. You got 10 days to do it, but we're not including Sunday. Why not Sunday? Wait a minute. Hold it. Something's coming to me. Jewish people worship on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. The Muslims, 3 great world religions, Islam, the Jews, and the Christian. The Muslims worship on Friday. The Muslims worship on Friday, and the Jews worship on Saturday. I wonder who it is that worships on Sunday. Somebody tell me, who is it? I wonder why they gave us that day off. Because the things they were talking about were Christianity. It was a Christian religion. Not all religions, the Christian religion. And that's what he said. Now, go on a little bit further. That's the Constitution. Go on a little bit further into this book. And when you get home, you ought to read the whole thing. Sheila and I sat down Friday night, and just as a refresher, I read aloud this entire book to Sheila and I. I woke her up a couple times, but anyway, I read it aloud. It was no. We talked about it. We discussed it. And we'd say things like, wow, I didn't know that was in there. You know, the thing talks about property rights and all kinds of things. You know what's so important? I didn't know this until I got refreshed on it. It's vital that people own property. Because when you own property, you're going to think differently about the world. When you own your property, you know what you're going to say? You're not going to throw out a bottle on somebody else's property. Because you know somebody threw it out on your property and you had to pick it up on yours. I mean, when you start to become a landowner, and that's dealt with a lot in the Constitution. And then when the government can't come into your house, unless they got rights to come and they're going to have a warrant, you got protections in this place. Or at least we used to have them. Or the Constitution says we got them. We'll see that. But notice on page 16. Notice page 16. Well, in the Constitution, we don't believe and mention anything about Jesus. Look on page 16, Article 7, second paragraph. This Constitution was done in convention by the unanimous consent of states presented 17th day of September in the year of Buddha. What year was it done? The year of what? Our Lord. This thing signed on Jesus Christ.
the year of our Lord, 1787. Keep on going. They made provision that we might not have thought about everything in the Constitution, so we can add some amendments. Go to number 21, page 21. Look at Amendment 1. Look at Amendment 1 there. Make sure. Amendment 1 says this, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Somebody say amen. Amen. It don't say that the church, that Christians can't be involved in government. That's not what it says. It says government, stay out of the church's business. Amen. Stay out of the church's business. You don't belong there. You know what? The Bill of Rights and the Constitution, you know what it's always put together? It wasn't there. It wasn't there to tell us what rights as such that we have. It does that. But what it tells a lot about is what rights the government don't have. It tells us to keeping the government out of our lives. That's what they were afraid of, that the government would get involved again. Like it did in Great Britain. They didn't want it to happen again over here. And so they wrote these things to protect us from the government. Speaking of that, look at number 2, Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to secure of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Listen, don't get mad, though. It ain't talking about hunting squirrels and rabbits. It's talking about you arming yourself that when the federal government comes against you, you can protect yourself. Notice, you don't have a militia to go rabbit hunting, do you? Is that what it said? A well-regulated militia. That's for the states, the people of the state. Remember the Minutemen? You said about them, what were they? They were farmers that had their weapons that when the time came, they're called upon, they got together, and they went against that was against them. They even wrote rules. I don't have time to say it, but there's rules that are written in this thing that talks about when tyranny of a government rises up. It's a duty. It's a responsibility of the people to rise up against that tyranny. And so as far as this Second Amendment stuff, listen, man, I don't shoot nobody, don't want to shoot nobody. I mean, I don't even like to go hunting. I understand that's fine. I eat hamburgers. I know somebody had to kill that cow. I understand that. But I just don't want to be the one that do it, okay? I've been through slaughterhouses and watched him shoot the cows and get him all ready to go until he just looked like a hamburger when he came out. I understand that. I don't want to be the one to do it. But you know what? I recognize this. I recognize that we have right to bear arms to protect ourselves. And it ain't talking, you say, why does somebody need to have, you know, an assault weapon? Why does somebody need to have a bazooka? Why does somebody need to have an M1 tank to protect yourself from the government? Because they got them. I don't want to go against the government. It's coming after me with a tank. And all I got is a 410 with one shot. I want to have a tank too. And somebody says, you extreme on that. I am extreme. I believe in the right to bear arms for what they was intending for a militia. Now, I ain't planning on having an uprising against the government or anything like that. But if I have to be honest with the wording of what the Constitution said, it ain't talking about giving you the right to go rabbit hunting. It's talking about giving you the right to form a militia to stand up against tyranny that comes against you. That's what it's there. Well, anyway, go on over. Look along a little bit further. I got so many things in the line I can't get to all of them. Look at number 35, the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence, page 35. Notice it mentions in the first paragraph, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among themselves the powers of the earth, the separation of equal stations to which the laws of nature and nature's God. Everybody say nature's God. Now, that's a little phrase that's not familiar to us today, but if you went back then, there was a thing called natural law, and that's what our law is built on. That's what the Constitution built on, is natural law. Cicero, he was a scholar way back, Roman days. And talked about natural law, that there's a thing that you just see in the world. When you look at it, you see some rights and wrongs that are there. They just pop up. They're there. Churches don't have to preach about it. This don't have to happen. It's in the world that's been created. And they believe that nature had a God. His name is Jehovah. His name is the God of the Bible, as we read so many other the founding documents. We see that. Notice it said, in the second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Everybody say equal. The things that had to do with women and men not being equal, and black and white people not being equal, and slavery, and none of that never should have been. All men are created equal. Somebody say amen. And said that they are endowed by their creator. Not by evolution. Not by tadpole. Not by a monkey. Endowed by their creator. There's a creator, amen? And now won't even let you teach creation in the public schools. How do you teach that document? Well, right now, a lot of them don't. I had one in there that used to. It used to be everybody had to study the Constitution. There was Constitution Day and Constitution Week every year in school. That ended somewhere about 12, 13 years ago, I believe it was. I'd have to look at my source to see. If you go on and look, there's other places you can look. Look at page 38 in this Declaration of Independence. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. We are not a godless society. If you go to the end of that, notice it said, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Divine providence. You can see it again and again and again through it. I've got bunches more stuff. I don't have time to get there. Let me read you this. I'm going to close it. Look at Psalms chapter 11. Well, that's the bad news. Foundations have fallen. Foundations have been broken. People have ventured away from the foundation our country was founded on. Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, then what can the righteous do? Verse 4, the Lord's in his holy temple. The Lord's throne's in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try, the children of men. Right now there's a test going on. And God sees everything that's going on. He's not unaware of this. One of my favorite passages speaks of the Lord being in the heavens and seeing what man is doing, and he laughs. I don't have time to read it. It's Psalm chapter 2. But he laughs at what's going on, as if man is going to do something to him. It's inconceivable. But then it says in verse 5, the Lord tries the righteous. Do you know you and I are being tested in this time? What we going to do? We going to sit around and just let it happen? Are we going to sit around and let everything that comes down the pipe be like it's the gospel, and then we're going to obey it just like mindless robots walking that way? Scared somebody's going to get you for this or get you for that? The Lord's testing the righteous. It's a time for me and you need to stand up and pass the test. Amen? And you're going to have your own outcome. It's not like in some of the schools today. We don't give tests because people don't feel good when they don't pass. I want you to pass the driver's test before you get on the road with me. Amen? There's some tests in life you got to pass. But now notice this. But the wicked and to him that loves violence, his, speaking of God, soul hates. We're at a place in America we want to say, God loves everybody, God loves everybody, God loves everybody, God loves everybody. You know, in a sense, God, certainly he does love everybody. But the Bible says again and again and again, here and also in Psalms, it tells us the same thing. In Proverbs, it tells us the same thing. And that the Lord hates those that do iniquity. You think God is just happy-go-lucky in love with that person that just killed 50 people or 100 people, whatever it might be? No. No, no. The Bible says this. Let me just read it to you. The Bible says in Psalms 5, verse 3, it says, my voice shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto you and will look up, for you are not a God that had pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with you. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hates all those that works iniquity. That's what he said. Psalm 6:15, he talks about the same thing. Remember those six things that he said he hates? People lie, people spread wickedness, people do wrong things. And so the wicked, God's seeing what they're doing. And he's not one bit happy with it. He's not one bit acceptance of it. He's not the least bit tolerant of America. It's not something that God's going to change on. If anybody's going to do some changing, it's going to be America, not God. Amen? Psalms 11:6. What's God going to do? Unto the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. One day, all these heathens, these ungodly sinners that rebel against God, that have lied on him, that have destroyed his nation, that have tried to destroy his people, tried to destroy the church, one day they're going to pay a price in the fires of hell. That went over so good, I just ought to say it again. Somebody say amen. Amen. I know we don't hear much about that. But that's what he just said. But now what about us? Look at verse 7. Psalms 11, verse 7. For the righteous, the Lord loves righteousness. Somebody say, hallelujah. The Lord loves righteousness. And his countenance does behold the upright. Living Bible says, like, for God is good, and he loves goodness, and the godly shall see his face. What are we supposed to do during this time? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Not just praying. Most people stop with the praying part. But pray and turn from their wicked ways. There's got to be a turning. Then I'll hear from heaven, I'll hear their land. I said, troubled in spirit and heart, up last night all day long, just moving, slept very little last night. If America doesn't turn to God, America is a doomed nation. It is a nation that will go the ways of all the other nations that have been before us. We got the foundation. It's being hid from us. People are lying and saying it's not. We got the Christian foundation. 1890, the Supreme Court said we are a Christian nation. I think I'll go with that. How about you? We're going to have to make a stand in America. May God have mercy on our country. May you and me have the courage and the backbone to stand up for righteousness. Amen? I know I've kept you long. Stand with me this morning. Father God, I come before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we pray for our country. God, we pray for our president, for our leaders, our senators, our representatives, for our governors, for all those that are in authority, we pray. We pray for their salvation. We pray for them turning to God, for them bowing their knee humbly before you to receive your knowledge and wisdom and leading this country on the principles of the Bible. Oh, God, stir each of our hearts, Lord, that, Lord, will be stirred to prayer and stirred to action to live the life and walk the walk and talk the talk that you have given us. Oh, God, humbly we pray. God bless America. Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.